I just want to share a little bit with you about a topic that is dear to my heart. We've been studying in our Sabbath school lessons this quarter about the book of Romans. And we've been going through Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and now we're up to Romans chapter 9, I believe it is. And but there was one portion that stuck with me for a little while, Romans 5. So I'm going to base my sermon, my talk this morning on Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Kind Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the privilege, the opportunity to be in your house of worship today. Father God, as we open your word and I stand before your people, I pray, Lord, that I will be transparent as glass. That the people won't see me, they'll see Jesus. They won't hear me, but hear Jesus speaking to them. Amen. Many times in life, we are caught between two extremes. We do not live a life of absolute hopelessness, and we do not live a life of absolute hope. But sometimes there are circumstances in our lives that draws us more to the hopelessness pole than to the pole of hope. And hopelessness can be devastating. Hopelessness is devastating. A person without hope has no anticipation of things getting better. It is just a kind of succumbing to circumstances and growing, and the growing realization that you have no impact on life, no influences on today or tomorrow. It is controlled by something bigger, much bigger than you. And you're left in a quandary as to what tomorrow holds. Hopelessness robs us of energy in our life, of hope in our life. The power of hope is made visible perhaps when it is introduced to someone who has been struggling with hopelessness, because you can see a transfusion in their life. It's like an infusing of power and energy in their life, and all of a sudden there is a glimmer of hope. Maybe, just maybe, things will get better. Maybe it's all right to try again. Maybe it's all right to pursue a better tomorrow. The Bible gives us a tremendous foundation for hope. In fact, I don't know of any substitute. I don't know how people get by without a belief in God and in the promises of God and without Jesus Christ in their lives. I want to share this morning the foundation of that hope, or this afternoon, the foundation of that hope from a passage in the Bible found in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, which was so beautifully read by Darren. I'll read again in your hearing. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. We need a solid foundation for hope. A foundation that really endures. The first part of this passage, we can easily accept, you know, the hope that is found in Jesus. We can accept that. And we have to really take a little quick step back and maybe not at this time, but what Paul is talking about here is what has already been established in chapters 1 and 4 of the preceding chapter 5. What Paul has done is that he has looked at every dimension in which man has tried to achieve peace with God and has strived to achieve acceptance by God. And interestingly enough, some that didn't know anything about God, some who didn't know anything about the law, but what they had perceived in the world around them, something happened within them. And they became obedient to God and servants of God. While on the other hand, some who were born in the faith and knew God from their beginning and had all the spiritual advantages turned away from God. He continues to establish the fact that there is no way to God than the way that God has provided. So he comes to chapter 5 and he says, therefore, let's sum it all up. Let's draw some bottom line here. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Now, peace may be something that you take for granted. But I'll tell you, in the innermost being of every human being, we are always concerned whether we are at peace with God. Always. We always want to know whether we're at peace with God. And that is easily demonstrated when something happens in our life, something that is unexpected, some tragedy happens, and all of a sudden, we start wondering, I wonder what I did wrong. What did I do? What have I done, Lord? Lord, please reveal to me. I want to fix it. All of a sudden, our peace with God is threatened. What Paul is saying here is that our peace with God is nothing that we offer to God, but what Jesus gave on our behalf. It says that we have been justified. We have been put at peace with God through faith. We need to see that sometimes we take this straight too far with this by faith thing, and we start believing that our faith is what achieves peace with God. We start to look at ourselves and start thinking, oh, I need greater faith. I need a better quality of faith. Or I wish I had the faith of so-and-so and this other person. You see, faith does not justify. I'm going to repeat that. Faith does not justify. Faith gives no peace. It is faith in Jesus Christ in whom we have justification. Faith in Jesus Christ in whom we have justification. The tremendous difference. Because there is a foundation that has been established outside of humanness. A foundation for hope that has been established in the person of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can have peace with God. We don't have to ask, is God angry with me? Is God the cause of this? What is the purpose of this? How many times I've heard it? One time I heard it in a home back in Marietta, Georgia, as the parents were preparing for the funeral of their two elementary age daughters who were killed in a tragic car train accident. And they said, I know God has a purpose. What I said is, God will take this tragedy in your life and use it as a force for good in the lives of many other people. And if you trust him, and if you maintain your hope in him, I don't know how, he will use it for a force for good in your own lives. But let's get one thing clear. When God purposes something, he causes it to be. And God did not cause the death of your children. When God purposes something, he causes it to be. God did not cause the death of your children. He didn't cause them to die. That's a big difference, a huge difference. God is not the cause of evil. God is good. God is only good. but he can make good come from evil. So we have peace with God. Everything is okay between you and God. You have been accepted. When you have accepted Jesus Christ and the provision that he has made for you, you have peace with God. Everything is okay. What a foundation for hope. What peace that brings. Things are right between me and God. There are a few other scriptures that have to do with what we are talking about this morning. The first one is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And it says here, "For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness shall dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross." Another passage, another text I'd like to just look at real quickly is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13. It says there, "But now Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been made near by the blood of Christ." And verse 17, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Access. That brings us to verse 2 chapter 5 in Romans. We have access to the Father. It's a great thing to have access to God. We all need access to somebody, to God. I think of different tragedies that sometimes happen, and the one that comes to mind right now is the tragedy that we saw unfold before our own eyes in Haiti at the beginning of the year. What a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Earthquake that happened there. We saw the different scenes of people running back and forth. Chaos. Total chaos. And I asked myself, where did these people go? What did they really focus on to have a return of hope in their life, in their lives? They needed access to someone. They needed access to God. Now, there are many people I don't have access to. Many people I don't have access to. I could write a letter to maybe the President of the United States, Barack Obama. And I'm sure somebody would read it for him. And somebody will answer it for him. And I can pick up the telephone and I can call the White House and say, "I'm Tim Merriman from Tampa, Florida. And I'd like to speak to President Obama, please." They won't put me through. No one will put me through. You see, I have no access to the President of the United States. I have no access. That's why I can understand why it's such a great blessing when Paul says that we have access to God, to the great God of heaven, the God, the creator of the universe. I have access to God. Whenever I need a surge of hope, whenever I need to just to talk to someone, I can talk to the King of Kings, the creator of this universe. That gives me hope. I have access to God. Verses 3 tells us that not only that we have access, but we glory in tribulations, and knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Now that's not so good. Glory in tribulations. I don't deal too well with that, glorying in tribulation. But I don't think Paul is talking about if we are suffering or going through tribulations that we somehow should throw a party. I don't think that's the glory that he's talking about. He's talking about something a little more deeper. Something deeper than that. He's talking about that knowing that God is doing something in your life to strengthen your hold on your own salvation. To increase your faith in him. God is doing something wonderful in your life. And in view of all this, you'll know that, or you can even be glad in tribulation because you know that God is working out something in your life. Somewhere, because in the end, we all know this, God's ultimate purpose is to save us. God wants to save each and every one of us. So we know that God is working out something great in our lives. I was flipping through a magazine not too long ago. It's called Christianity. It's a leadership magazine. Put out by Christianity for Today. And I was reading a very interesting quote, which I'd like to share with you real quick. And when I looked at the bottom of the quote, as to who wrote it, it said Benjamin Reeves. He's a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. And he's such a powerful and dynamic preacher. Listen to what he wrote here. He says, living expectantly, living with hope, means more than just believing in church doctrines. It means more than trusting my life to God. Living with hope is faith on tiptoe. I like that imagery. Living with hope is faith on tiptoe. Living expectantly, he continues, means believing with God that life is worth living. Believing that in God or with God, I will never experience the dullness of the daily. That's great to me. Some days can be downright routine. I live in the expectancy, he says, that in my life, God will do a new thing that will transcend the past. In my life, God will do a new thing that will transcend the past. Living hopefully is living life on tiptoe. Looking beyond the here and now and the suffering of today, knowing that God is going to do something, or God is doing something that will transcend whatever the past may be. Finally, we'll just move down to verse number 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. A wish may disappoint, but the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Eternal hope is the foundation. The foundation of eternal hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's key. Foundation of a hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was reading through another book, I think it's Business Week, one of those books, and there was like one of these little comic strips, and the comic strip, there were three businessmen, and they owned three stores in the same city, on the same city block, right next, one next to each other, 1, 2, 3. And they were selling just about the same type of merchandise. With the slow economy, of course, they were trying everything to generate business and just wasn't working. So the man on the one end, he put a big sign on his store, and the sign says, liquidation sale. And the man on the other end of the man in the middle put up another sign. And the sign says, clearance sale, big clearance sale. Now the guy in the middle, he was besides himself. Because whichever way people would come, they would not see him here in the middle, they'd be seeing this other two storekeepers. They would never see him. So he started planning and devising and thinking of a way that he could generate some business. So he came up with a plan. He got an idea. He put up a big banner. And this banner said, "Main Entrance." Main Entrance. That's what his banner says. See, that's what God has done with the gospel. When people look here and there for hope and peace everywhere, God puts up his banner. He says, "I don't care what you're looking for. I don't care who you are. The main entrance to me is through Jesus Christ." Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in Jesus Christ is the foundation. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of our hope. In the end, again, as I said here, the last verse says that, the last part of verse 5, that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. In 1992, at the Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the 400-meter race was begun. And that race was particularly moving that year because there was a young man by the name of Derek Redmond, who 100 meters into the race, he just crumpled to the ground in agony and in pain. He had just torn his hamstring in his leg, and he couldn't go further. Right then and there, the emergency people, the medical people, they ran out to assist him. And he just waved them away. He told them, "Don't touch me, go away, don't touch me, don't touch me." He was determined to finish that race. You see, 4 years before, in 1988, Derek had qualified for the Olympics. And 90 seconds before that particular race went off, while he was doing his stretching and warming up, he severed his Achilles tendon. And he could not participate in that race. For the next four years, Derek had 5 surgeries. He went through exhaustive training. And he went through some excruciating rehabilitation, and he made it again. He qualified again. So he knew this time that this injury that he had just suffered with his hamstring would be the end of his career. So he didn't want anyone to touch him. He was going to finish this race. So he got up, tried to get up to his feet, and he started to hop and to hobble down the track. Right then, there was a tall, big gentleman in the stands who stood up and started to make his way down the aisle, trying to get over the barrier and onto the track. The security people immediately tried to stop him and get him not to go over the rail, but he just threw him aside. And he went over the rail and onto the track. That man was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. He came to Derek and he embraced Derek and he put his arm around Derek, and Derek put his arm around the strong shoulders of his father, and together they finished the race. They didn't win any medals that day. No medals were won, but they finished the race. There are many things that impact us in our lives today. And whether we are 100 meters away or a long, long, long way from the finish line, what the gospel says, that you are not alone. You have peace with God. You have access to him. And in the end, after you've endured, he will send his Spirit. And together, you'll finish the race. You may not be first, You may not even be the best. But together, you will finish. And to finish is salvation. Found your hope in Jesus Christ. And even when there is suffering, you can continue life on tiptoe, looking beyond the here and now, knowing that God will bring you tomorrow that which will transcend the past. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your promises. We thank you for the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, it's our hope for today. It's our hope for tomorrow. It's our hope for eternity. Thank you, Father, that we are at peace with you, that we have access to you. And in the end, you'll pour out your Holy Spirit in us to help us finish this race. In the name of Jesus, amen.